Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for today. We just come together, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, and to come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that your anointing and your Holy Spirit may be here with us to quicken, to energize, to give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, we pray, and I'm going to be reading from Ephesians again, chapter 1, verse 17 to 23. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that we, that is what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, in far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only on this age, but also in that which is to come, and that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, to the fullness of him who filled all in all. And we just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And we believe and appropriate that faith with by faith, Lord, the word that we just said. Lord, pour upon us your spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may be able to receive from you, Lord, supernatural breakthroughs in the areas of contacting you, of connecting with you and fellowshipping with you, that we may be able to, Lord, move from where we are today to better places, Lord, to a place in which we are closer to you and more the way you want to be, us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. We are going to see what can be done. Now, let me just remind you a few things, some basic things we covered already, but we need to move forward. We need to really have appropriated some of the things that we already presented. So we are looking at the impact, the importance of our time in the prayer closet, that when we are by ourselves with God, interacting with him. This is the time in which we get things that seldom we can get when we are in a crowd, even when there is a different type of prayer, when we are, you know, together with collective anointing, there is a completely different operation of the Spirit of God. But when we are by ourselves, generally, we get things. We get more things. And we get breakthroughs there that are important. You know, but because we can give full attention, we are not distracted by other things. As we are fully focused on him, and we give all in divided attention to him, his undivided attention is on us too. And we come into his presence, and this is really the important thing that most people miss. You know, the ability to come into God's presence face to face. You know, it's interesting to see in the Old Testament, even Moses could not come face to face with God. He could only see his back. The Bible says that we, who is in the kingdom, children of the kingdom, are better than any of the prophets of the Old Testament. The implication is now, you know, with the veil that has been broken, and there is no more separation from us, we can come to God face to face. Hallelujah. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, this is God's expectation for us, the same way as Jesus could come to him in a personal way and see him face to face. God wants that kind of relationship with us, wants that kind of intimacy with us. Praise the Lord. Adam did that and then lost it. Jesus came and had that and made it available to us. But see, lots of people don't come into that place in which they come into the presence of God, in which God relates to them. See, when you do that, something happened that is it's amazing. You see, you cannot go into the presence of God without being changed. This is why we need to seek his face. You know, seek his face. That's what he, you know, also said himself. And when we do that, something is imparted to us that is not available in any other way. It's only just even being close to his presence. And what happens, even when we stop being in our prayer closet and we go out, that presence goes with us and carries, we become carriers of God's presence. And people should feel that, should realize that that is actually taking place and it's not us. It's something else. It's his presence that comes with us because something rubbed on to us. This is why it's so important for us to spend. It doesn't mean, you know, you cannot have a casual encounter with God. There has to be a full attention. See, this is why you need to go by yourself. You need to lock yourself up. You need to separate yourself from the other things. See, one of the things that God does is separates us from the things that shouldn't be in us. We're going to talk about that another time, but and we talk to him and he talks to us. If there is not a two-way conversation, there is a problem in the relationship. Hallelujah. See, this is when he reveals himself to us. That's why we come to know God instead of knowing about God. And sometimes it takes a second because there is no time. See, for us, we are bound in time, but when we are in the spirit world, there is no time. So in 1 second, you can download things that take you days to process. Hallelujah. And you have to get to that place. You have to get to that position. You see, this is where you know him, you know his will, you know his thoughts, and you can accept. You see, there is at that time is the time when you had to be open to accept them, and you are not going to be able to get anything that you are not ready to get. Your preparation is important. Hallelujah. See, revelation comes then. When revelation comes, you are changed. It changes inside you. Revelation should produce a change in you. It's not just a question of knowing something as a purpose. Revelation always brings a spiritual activity in you. And that means actually that you know, there is things that have to be activated, have to be implemented after you got the initial download. See, this is where you receive anointing and you receive power. That is not you. It's not mental. It's not a charismatic idea of charisma of the person. It's God's presence that works inside you. Okay? So let's see, for example, in some example here, you know, in the Bible, when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi. I mean, in this case, there were two people that were not just, you know, but they were locked up anyway. So it was in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, you know, and in the at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoner were listening to them. So they were just, I mean, they didn't care. They were bleeding on their back. They had been whipped. They were beaten up. They were in pain. They were everything else. But they weren't really concerned about that. What they were concerned, what they were focusing on, was to get into the presence of God. So they were worshiping and singing. And they were noisy. Because people were hearing them. All right? And so then suddenly, you see, generally this is what happens. You know, these things happen suddenly. When God moves, it's just always suddenly, you know, from one second to the next. The whole thing happens. And the doors hang open. Okay? And then suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know, people say, oh, coincidence. That's God incidence. That's what happens all the time. You see, I mean, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. I mean, how can you break in the chains when there is an earthquake? Tell me. So there was something there that was not just an earthquake, was like an earthquake. Okay? So this is one of the things. When God's presence comes, chains are broken. They cannot stay locked up anymore. You see, things, bondages, other things that are limiting you, that's the way they're going to be broken. It's not through your own effort. You cannot set yourself free. He sets you free. Amen. But you have to come in contact with him, because he is the source of the power. He is the source of the anointing that breaks the yoke. He is the one that is going to enable you to be walking out from that prison that you are yourself in, free, no matter what that is. Amen. Free. See, this is why, you know, and, you know, it's good to see taking place. It doesn't happen in only one shot. Often there are things that we are ready to receive, and we come into the presence of God, and automatically that thing snaps. And you are free, and you know that you are free. Until you realize that there is something else that has to go off. And then you go into the presence again. Until we grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory, until we can set free, and with the Son set free, becomes freer and freer. Freer and freer. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, the thing is, the impact of that, you know, was major. It was not just that they were set free. You know, everything happened as a result of that. You know, the keeper of the prison was trying to kill himself because, you know, he was responsible to keep the people in, and the chains were broken. They were going out. So we're trying to kill him. And Paul, you know, called with a loud voice, and evidently it wasn't right there. You know, it was another place. So I don't know how he could know it, because the head of the prison wasn't going to stay in Paul's neighborhood. You know, he was in a cell, and he was probably in another place completely. And he said, do not hurt yourself, or do not harm yourself, for we are all here. So he was reassuring even the jailer about the fact that he shouldn't kill himself. And evidently God had a plan for that. You see, the breakthrough for Paul and Silas to be free wasn't just that. See, one of the things that happen when there are breakthroughs, there doesn't happen only one thing. There is a multiplying effect. There is an exponential growth that takes place when there is a breakthrough. I mean, other things are going to start to be dealt with, and you have to actually be able to see that and be able to allow yourself to be used at that time, because God's presence is in you. You know, so one of the things, for example, that when the Lord, you know, gives you a breakthrough, is the one to share the breakthrough, because as you share the breakthroughs, you see, your anointing is going to be just brought back there, and it's going to touch other people. Amen. And this is what happens here too. Okay. So you see, he said, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. I mean, this guy was a jailkeeper. I mean, God's power evidently was there so strong that he realized this was not a normal thing. This was not just an earthquake, no matter how, you know, mother says, great or small, doesn't matter. You know, it was something supernatural that was going on, shaking the place. Okay, so he's, you know, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so this is starting to minister to them. God's power was working not in just Paul and Silas, was working on the jailer, was working on the house of the jailer, the household of the jailer, was operating there. You see, when it happened, that's the time when you had to, is when the iron is hot, that you had to use it. Don't let it cool down. God wants people hot to be able to minister life. And so, you know, so then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in the house, and immediately they were, you know, saved and baptized and everything else. You see, the idea is that, you see, the power of God came on, they were just worshiping. They were just before the Lord. They got before the Lord, evidently, because the power of God was right there and made all this happen. See, the impact, you see what I'm talking about here, is the fact that when we go before the Lord, you know, lots of people go before the Lord and it's like talking to the wall. There's a problem there. He's there. If you are there yourself. You had to believe that. You had to be open to that. You had to expect that. Because he's there anyway. But maybe you just not believing and not expecting anything, so nothing happened. I mean, you know, this is the difference between Christianity and all the other religion. I mean, the other religion go to church, go to their places of worship and everything else, but they worship their gods, but they don't expect anything to happen. We should come to church not only to worship God, but expecting that God is going to work supernaturally when we come together, because they said, "No, I'm going to be with you when you come together in my name." Amen. And he's not going to be with us just for the sake of visiting. He has always a purpose. Hallelujah. See, prayer, when it's done the right way, it should always manifest a breakthrough, one way or another. It may be simply the fact that, your attitude changes. Well, it should change, hopefully for the best. See, if you are praying and you are going to be the same as you were before, you weren't praying. You were just saying words. Saying words doesn't do it. You see, it's not something physical that has to happen. In prayer, as I said, it's something spiritual. Prayer is spiritual. You know, when even the old, in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they were all praying together were intensely praying with intensity, the Holy Spirit came in for the first time. See, when later on in chapter 3 or chapter 4 of Acts, when Peter had been taken to prison, and if you remember, said that when they had been, chapter 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. See, again, the same thing happened here. It wasn't the earthquake, it was a shaking of the place. See, the power of God came in the place, and the place was shaken. I mean, when we really get to the place where we get the presence of God, I mean, if the place doesn't shake, we should be shaken. Because you cannot come into his presence just remaining apathetic. Praise the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That implies, the power of God came on them. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you see, that's where the anointing comes. You go before the Lord, you connect with the Lord, automatically the anointing is going to come upon you. See, you don't need to seek the anointing. You need to seek to connect with God. Amen. You get, after that, everything you need. You pray secretly and you get rewarded openly. That means it's going to be visible. It's going to be evident. Spiritual prayer always activates spiritual power. It's the natural things, the natural result that you praise. And when you are there, when you get in there, it's because, you become aware of the presence of God. You become aware that God is there. And God is there. Hallelujah. See, revelation always brings spiritual activity. God's presence is revealed to you. Things are revealed to you. Automatically, that releases the power of God inside you to work through your spirit and the revelation to be manifested in the physical way, in the things you do. See, this is why, you can see the difference when somebody prays, preaches with the anointing of God, because they have been before God before, to prepare themselves, and the people that are good speakers and they are, eloquent and they are putting together the show, and there is no power. See, that's what makes the difference. It's not our ability. It's his ability working through us and using you as a vessel through which he can work. So, but if you haven't done the homework, and the homework is not trying to do yourself, it's trying to come in contact with Him, to be in contact with Him, to be receiving from Him. That one makes the difference. Jesus did that every night. All the time. I mean, He was ministering to people. When He was ministering to people, He didn't go there praying for hours for them. Often says, you know, what do you need? That you, you know, give me my sight. Well, take it. I mean, just sometimes just one sentence, sometimes just one word. Why? Because He prayed before. See, it wasn't the things that He was doing in public that was making the difference. It was what He was doing by Himself in the desert or in the places by Himself that He was getting ready to do the other work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, I wanted to share with you all the blessings, very specifically, that the Word gives concerning what happens when we are in the secret place. But we don't have the time. So, what are we going to do? You turn the flower back? Well, I don't. Maybe, but what we get, what I'm going to give you a beginning of that. You can go through it by yourself during the week. Okay. If you go to Psalm 91, okay. Psalm 91 starts, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, I remember a time ago, says, you know, well, what is the secret place? The secret place is what we've been talking about. If you want to see the type of impact that you get, you know, that's when you dwell in there. It doesn't say when you come to visit the secret place. When you come and give me a visit, that's what you're going to get. It doesn't say. He said, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. You know, abide means you are staying there. So it doesn't take 5 minutes. Or prayer and say, okay, you know, I did my job today, so I can go and do my own thing now. Hello? You see, if you are dwelling in there, that means you're staying there. You spend time in there. You just spend enough time to be able to rub on you what is inside there. See, this is, we have been talking about carrying the presence. See, then you can go out the way Jesus did because He was carrying the presence of God with Him. And so the only thing He say, be healed. Are you following me? But there is so much more. If you read Psalm 91 about it, you see, a few more minutes. So what do you do when you get into that place? That's the million-dollar question. What do you do? Well, you take your position. You had to make some statement. You had to take the right place. And we saw before some of that, you know, but here it says very clearly, Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say, O the Lord, You are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Amen. That's what you're going to do. See, that's the position you take. I think we should say that together. Okay? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. You see, you take a position, and that, if the attitude is not that, you're not going to be in the secret place. See, that's the place you have to be. We are not talking about the physical place here. Do you see that? I said, you know, your prayer closet is not just a physical place, it's a spiritual place. I mean, there is a physical component, but the position, the most important part, is the spiritual place that you are in, because otherwise you can lock yourself up. And I said last time, you know, the only thing you can get is claustrophobic. Hello?
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
See, that's the important thing, is what's going on inside you. It's a spiritual activity, prayer. It's not, you know, and it cannot be, has to be spiritual, has not to be just emotional or just mental. There has to go beyond that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that I can't cover the whole thing. Yeah, it's too long. So you had to wait for the next week. See, what we want to do is to get to a place where we, can make some statement, can make some confession concerning these things, and to activate within us, the understanding and the revelation. Because, you know, you can have revelation and do nothing with it, because you got distracted. See, that's the way the enemy works all the time. He gets us busy. He gets us distracted. He gets us doing things that there is many of me nothing wrong with them, but they just distract us from being able to obey the breakthrough that God has planned for us, that God has made available to us. See, but that's the time when somebody calls you up. That's the time when you start thinking about the wrong thing. And so you just get distracted and get busy about, I had to pay this, I had to do the other thing. And you just, the anointing, the presence, and everything else goes down. This is why you had to, one of the things you had to plan is the planning of the sacred, the time for the secret place to spend with God that is long enough for you to come into his presence and to stay there. Praise the Lord. I think we should make some confession here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
Heavenly Father.
We just come to you today. To worship you and to praise you.
Lord,
we declare that you are our fortress.
You are our strength.
You are our refuge. In you, we will trust.
We trust in you
because you are dependable.
You are faithful.
You are a faithful God that we can believe your word, because your word is true. And you are going to keep your word so that we can know what to expect from you. What you promise us is yea and amen. For those who are in Christ Jesus. And we, Lord, open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit to guide us in the things that we had to do, for the things that we had to understand, that we may be able to receive and break through, have deliverance, freedom, healing, victory in all the areas of our life, because we know that God You are victorious all the time. And if we are with you, we must be victorious too. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can read Psalm 91 by yourself, and we are going to reinforce it next time.